Good evening, I'm Hugh McMillan, and I would like to talk to you tonight about Four Noble Truths, and I would like to give a very basic example of it that hopefully one can experience in daily sitting practice. What I'd like to do first is go over the Four Noble Truths and then go over this particular kind of sitting technique, which is not at all removed from what you're accustomed to doing, just a few extra details, and then at the end give you an opportunity to practice it so that it'll hopefully you can decide if it's something you want to take home with you for your daily practice. The Buddha basically said that there were three doorways to nibbana: the realization of impermanence, the realization of the nature of suffering, or the realization of non-self. Four Noble Truths focus on suffering. And it is said by tradition that the very first discourse he gave after he was enlightened was on the Four Noble Truths. So it seems to me a very appropriate doorway to our practice, and I find it to be an essential part of my practice all of the time. It's the place that I can get closest to on a day-to-day basis, which helps sustain my practice. Just as a quick review, the first noble truth is that there is suffering. The second, that there is an origin of suffering. And the third is that there is a cessation of suffering. And the fourth is that there is a path of practice which can lead to the cessation of suffering. Now I'd like to amplify a little bit on that. The Buddha broke up suffering into a few different categories, and I think we will all recognize them. First is simply the processes of being alive: birth, aging, sickness, and death. Second are the psychological aspects of being alive: sorrow, lamentation, pain, sadness, fear, distress. Then there are three others that are very important. The third of the five is being bound to our dislikes. Fourth is being separated from our likes. And the fifth is not getting what we want. Now, we have a very strong habit of making all of these things very personal, but it's important to recognize that these are universal aspects of being alive, that these are not personal descriptions. It's very helpful in relating to our suffering to see that it is, in fact, not just us, and that these aspects of suffering can be either physical or psychological or both, most often some mixture of both, but they can be simply one or the other. Now, the origin of suffering is how we relate to those things, and we suffer when there is an emotion of craving that comes up. Attachment is used. I like the word craving. It resonates with the kind of hunger I have. Attachment doesn't quite do it for me, but it's meant to mean the same thing. And craving has three different aspects to it: sensual craving, sex, food, craving to become something that we aren't, craving for cessation of something that we are, or some experience that we're having. In all of this craving, there's an energy, a mental energy of either grasping and pulling toward us or pushing away from us. One or the other, sometimes both. But there's no neutral quality to these cravings. And the very quality of craving and the lack of neutrality about it sets up an ongoing energy which reinforces itself, that the craving, and we see this in aspects of society where we use prohibition as a way of controlling behavior, and what it tends to set up is extra indulgence. So we see that at the societal level and at the personal level, it's equally true that craving is something that feeds on itself. Once you let your mind start to go toward craving, either in a desire or a rejection, an aversion to, there is so many extra stories that get brought in, so much extra stuff, that it just keeps on going. But there is a possibility for cessation, and that cessation comes about when you can let go of the craving. And the qualities that are a part of letting go are a neutral quality, calm, passion, lack of passion, a detachment, an allowance of simply letting it be as it is, not having to push it away or pull it toward, just allowing it to be. That is the quality that can open to cessation. The path that makes this a possibility has two aspects to it. First is the aspect that Buddha talked about of a middle way, not pursuing sensual indulgence to basically burn away this desire by excess experience. On the other hand, not entering into a life of asceticism and self-torment, and self-punishment, but to simply try and walk through a middle ground someplace in between those two, where one reaches a more neutral position with respect to all of these experiences. And the guidance he provides for doing that is the Noble Eightfold Path. There are eight aspects to that path, which I'm going to go over just quickly. And the first is setting your understanding correctly about how it is what you're trying to do, your intentions, and what it is that you're attempting to do here, which is to relate to this process in a way that will lead you out of suffering. Then to practice a life of right action and right speech and right livelihood, so that you minimize the amount of emotional and psychological turmoil that's going on, so that you can have a possibility of quieting down and setting the stage for a concentrated and calm mind. And then there is right effort in the meditation process, right concentration, and right mindfulness. And what I want to focus on now is right mindfulness, which is where this is all leading to. But one cannot get to right mindfulness without practicing all of these aspects of the path. So, just to quickly review that again, I want to make a couple of key points. One is that suffering is an impersonal thing. It is a universal quality of being alive. And it has physical and psychological aspects to it. And the Four Noble Truths apply equally to physical suffering and psychological suffering. So the technique that I'm going to now talk about, which I'm going to use a simple physical example, I want you to recognize you can expand this technique to include all forms of suffering. The other thing I want to remind you is that this aspect of craving has this energy of either aversion or grasping. It's not neutral. So the meditation process I want to suggest to you, and then we'll take a try at it, is to sit as you usually do. However it is that you set yourself up to sit, whatever that process is for you individually. And then I want you to, as usual, make your breath your primary object. And I want to add one more thing. I want you to have an intention not to move. Whatever comes up, have the intention not to move. Itching, runny nose, sneeze, pain, whatever it is. This is a very important aspect because it really puts a fire under your feet when you can't just take care of it, you know, whatever it is. We have this incredible desire to get rid of whatever it is that's bothering us right now. And when you can't do that, lots of other stuff starts to happen in the mind. And it's very important that this quality of intention be set. After you've established yourself in your sitting process and you've begun to become mindful, hopefully, I want to now quickly define what I mean by mindfulness. Mindfulness has two qualities, several qualities, but the two essential qualities are that you are relaxed in a open mental posture of both awareness and acceptance. Mindfulness is not simply being aware of what is happening, that you've got a pain or that you're about to sneeze or whatever it is. It's also the acceptance that that's what's happening, a neutral acceptance. It's very important to have both aspects to comprise mindfulness. Now, when you're sitting and breath is your primary object and some other body sensation comes up, now at this point I could say this will now be true in general of any emotional state, but I would like to use for this example simply a physical state because it's much easier to work with. Emotional states can be so complicated with lots of different stuff going on, all mixed together. It's very hard to be really aware of what all those things are and to accept all of them, because if you have an emotional state that's got half a dozen components to it, you have to be able to see all of them and accept all of them to have a cessation of suffering. And so in the physical case, it's much easier to home in on what it is that's actually going on and be able to be aware of it and to accept it. So that's why I want to stick with this physical example. So when some kind of body sensation comes up, whatever it is, that's sufficiently strong that it can capture your interest and your attention and not be overwhelmed by the breath, then make that your primary object. And if possible, since this is usually an afflictive experience that you're going to have now, some people, I suppose, have very pleasant physical sensations when they're sitting, but in my experience, at least speaking for myself, it's usually something unpleasant that comes up, that intrudes. Knee pain, back pain, going to sneeze, runny nose, whatever it is. That's usually what comes up for me anyway. Try and note when it first comes up, is the sensation pleasant or unpleasant or neutral? That helps establish yourself with respect to the experience with a certain detachment. Just the ability to note that quality as it comes up helps you settle into a place of mindfulness, of awareness and acceptance much more easily than if your mind is immediately running to, oh my God, you know, this is going to happen now. See if you can just make that note. Now, you may not be able to. You may go right by it. But if you can, make the note. Now, when you have made this your primary object of attention, I want you to narrow down your focus very precisely. So I'm going to use an example now. If you have an itch or a pain, try to figure out exactly where it is. Not, oh, I've got an itch on the side of my face, or oh, I've got a pain in my knee. I've got an itch or a pain in this square millimeter. And also try and very precisely see what the quality of the experience is. What does this thing feel like? An itch isn't precise. I'm talking about, is it a burning sensation? Is it pressure? Is it a stabbing sensation? Is it some kind of touching? Whatever, however precise you can get, you're just trying to have the intention of getting as precise as you can get. It's not precise to say I've got a pain or I've got an itch. Really try and see what the quality of that experience is. And now, just to, by the way, if it's too intense, and this probably isn't going to happen in a short sitting, but if you're sitting over a longer period of time and you really get into an intense itch or an intense pain and you can't stand, you know, being with it, you can always go back to the breath and then come back to it. And that's a way of kind of modulating how strong it is. It gives you a sense of a way of being a little bit detached from it. So that's another quality that'll help you get some distance on it and then come back to it. Now, I'm getting to the last part here, which is that now with this very precise noting of what kind of location and what kind of quality this experience is, of course, at the same time, be aware of what your mind is doing with this. And try and be fully mindful of both the physical experience and what the mind is doing. And of course, to be mindful, you have to have awareness and acceptance. Now, if this were a long retreat, I would basically leave you on your own at this point and let you go discover. But I want to give you some incentive here for those of you who haven't done this kind of practice. My experience is that you will find it impossible to locate and describe this physical experience when you actually pay very close attention. It will be changing so fast, the location and the nature of the feeling, that you cannot keep up with it. in terms of labeling it. As soon as you begin to say, oh, yeah, that's burning, it's not burning anymore. It's something else. It's just changing as quickly as a kaleidoscope. And so this is a very powerful experience about impermanence. This thing that our mind, and you will see that your mind solidifies this experience into some kind of conceptual concrete that's basically, I've got this incredible pain in my knee, or I've got this itch that I can't stand. And it's the mental activity that makes it a fixed thing. It's not the experience. In the experience, it is absolutely changing all the time. And if you can reach that point of being fully aware of the details of this and accept it as it is, it'll go away. It will, as the Buddha promised, cease. I'm talking about the most extreme itch, the most extreme pain. It'll simply go away. It won't stay away. I mean, it's not like you've cured your pain for the rest of your life. It will go away, though. And like everything else that arises and passes away, it'll arise again in some other form. But it will pass away. And not if you bargain with it, not if you say, okay, I'm gonna be aware of you, I'm gonna accept you so you'll go away, because I don't like you. Forget it, that's not gonna work. But if you can really just welcome it in a neutral way, just it's all right, then you'll discover a release that happens. So I don't know if I need to review that or not, but that's, you know, there is suffering. The origin of suffering is our mental relationship to suffering, to the experience. The opportunity for cessation of suffering is to change that mental relationship, which is to have mindfulness, to be fully aware and fully accepting of whatever that experience is that we're having, whether it's a physical one or a psychological one. But in this case, I'm using the physical one as an example. We have some time for questions, if anyone would like to ask. Should we practice this, each in our own way? Thank you.